And let's stand as we just read three verses, John chapter 8, verse 30 to 32. John chapter 8, verse 30 to 32. I'll read verse 30, you read verse 31, and then we'll all read verse number 32, okay? John chapter 8, verse 30, the Bible reads, "As he," the Lord Jesus, "spake these words, many believed on him." Verse 31. Verse 32 together. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your precious word. It is clearly written here, Lord, knowledge of thy word will make us free. But help us to understand, Lord, in the context of what you've said, what does it mean to be free? Are we personally free? And Father, we pray tonight, today, that you will speak to our hearts. For Lord, we seek genuine freedom that comes from heaven. We seek the freedom that you want us to have. Many of us have different thinking on freedom, but help us to think what you say is freedom. So Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. We pray for your Holy Spirit to speak to us in a special way. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. John chapter 8. Okay, in the book of John chapter 8, if you look through the entire passage, the Lord Jesus Christ actually started with dealing with certain people who wanted to condemn a woman, okay? And after the Lord Jesus had spoken many words, beginning at John chapter 8, verse 12, when Jesus said verse 12, he was telling a very, very important principle. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The Lord Jesus is actually comparing himself with the festival they were actually having, all right, during the time in the Jewish temple. And he's saying, "You guys are looking at this light, but I am the light of the entire world." There was then opposition and clear resistance to the light of the world, to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to understand, when we oppose or resist the word of the Lord and the preaching of the word of God in the Bible, we're actually resisting the person who gave it. Please understand this. When we sin against God, for example, we don't just sin against the law. We sin against the lawgiver. Okay? We sin against the lawgiver. And that's a very important principle for us as Christians to understand. We don't just break the law. We sin against God. In Psalm 51, you don't have to turn there. David says, "Against thee only have I sinned." Okay? King David committed adultery. He broke one of the Ten Commandments, but King David was quick to say, "I sin against God. Only you. Against you have I sinned." So in that situation, some actually doubted when Jesus Christ said, "I'm the light of the world." But praise God, there were some who believed on him. To the one who believed, Jesus spoke this word. Let's look at John chapter 8, verse 30. Look at the context. "And he spake these words," "as he spake these words, many believed on him." The word "believe" means put faith in him. And it's an important principle that I'd like to actually highlight very much, okay? Jesus actually then goes on to say, if he continue in my word. There are people already who have trusted him here, putting their faith in him. They have already placed faith in him. And can I just highlight something which I think is very important, that is a very prevalent teaching all around churches in Singapore and all over the world. And this thing is about the Lordship salvation. I just want to give you a few Bible verses. I just want to listen to what the Bible actually says. That what's the premise of salvation? What's the basis of salvation? Listen to the scriptures. Mark 1:15. You don't have to turn. Just listen, okay? "Saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." John 1:12. "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." John 3:16 says what? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him," put faith in him, put confidence in him, put trust in him, "shall not perish but have everlasting life." John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." Okay, "but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Okay? In John 6:40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone receives the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. John 6:47, he that believeth on me had everlasting life. John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. In John 11:26, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Okay. Then in Acts 10:43, these are the apostles preaching. To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive the forgiveness of sin. Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Why am I saying that? Again and again, the premise of salvation is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it take to become a Christian? For by grace ye are saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay? And the reason why I want to highlight that, because some people use this passage and then go on to say, they believe in Jesus, says, but now you have to continue my word, then you are my disciples. Okay? Now I want to highlight this thing about, I won't take a lot of time, but I just want to highlight this, because this thing, there's this thing called Lordship Salvation. How many of you have heard of that? Lordship Salvation. Okay? Some of you, I'm sure many of you have heard of that. Many churches actually teach that. I want to say Lordship Salvation is not the teaching of the Bible. Because in the very description itself, you're adding Lordship to salvation. Okay, that's one premise. But it is clear in the Scriptures, some people believe that if you do not follow Christ closely after you're saved, then it's probable that you are not saved. Some people believe that. Now, salvation is clearly faith in Christ by His grace. We are born again because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ on His Word. Yes? Okay? Now, what we make of our lives after that should be the grace that has touched us, should lead us to then follow Christ and grow. Okay? By Lordship Salvation, they believe that we must clearly see the evidence here, because otherwise you're not saved. That's not what the Bible says. Okay, well, I want to be very clear on that. We'll discuss that some other time, but I want to go through that. Because there are many people today who believe in this thing called Lordship Salvation. And may I say, the Lordship Salvation is the response to easy believism. You know what easy believism? Some people say, oh, you just believe in Jesus, you'll go to heaven. That's not what the Bible says too. Because the Bible says, repent and believe the gospel. In other words, there must be a change of mind about sin, receiving Christ into your heart, then you become a Christian. Alright? And so we just want to, we'll talk about some other time. Just be very careful on this, because sometimes people may use this passage in the wrong way. Because you believe, then you say, oh, that's it. Jesus said, if you continue, then you are my disciples indeed. But we want to take a look at this today. Okay? So in this verse, Jesus makes an important statement. Sorry, let me just backtrack. Although it's not the Lord's will for us to judge who is a real Christian and who is not. By the way, it's not for us to say, oh, Raja Ashoka, you're not a Christian, or Brother Uncle Roland, you're a Christian. It's not for us to judge. Okay? It's for the Lord to judge who is a Christian. But I would say this, we can be fruit inspectors. Okay? We can see, and usually when we see the evidence of a person's life, it encourages our hearts. Alright? Okay. So, it's not the Lord's will for us to judge who is a Christian or not. The clear principle here that Jesus is trying to make is that there must be a decision to follow Christ after we have trusted Christ. You can... Many people are believers in Jesus. Not many are disciples of Jesus. Is there a difference? Do you realize that when Andrew... Peter in John chapter 1, when they first knew about Jesus, Andrew has already placed faith in the Messiah. In Matthew chapter 4:19, remember the phrase that Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee and then he called Peter, James and John, come, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men? When you have to realize the context, when Jesus went to the Sea of Galilee to call them, that was a few months after, chronologically speaking, when Peter first met Christ. So it was a call to follow. Okay? Many of us, when we trust Christ the first time, when someone maybe you come to church or someone share the gospel with you, that's the first time you heard the gospel, and maybe at that time you say, yeah, I believe Christ, I put my faith in Him. But then somewhere along the line, as you come to church, as people say, hey, there must be a decision to follow Christ. That's the next part of discipleship where you need to make a decision to actually follow Christ. Does it make sense? I want to make it very clear, because you can be a believer without being a disciple of Christ. You can be. Okay? So afterwards, I'll highlight clearer through what Jesus is saying. In this verse, Jesus makes an important statement that we would have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ would take heed. He said, if ye continue in my word. God wants us to continue in his word. The word continue means to remain in it. The word continue means to remain in the word. Remain in it. That means that we have heard the word, we have received the word, and we are actively seeking to make the word part and parcel of our lives. An illustration I have is, if a person takes a course in law, for example, maybe he goes overseas and he takes a law course, or he goes to and finish a degree in computing. When he comes back and starts a law firm, or he starts a computing firm, we can say that he is continuing in what he has learned. Does it make sense? Right? But when he comes back and sets up a bakery, it's totally different from what he has learned. Okay? Some of the way back, we were driving and we were talking about this. Hopefully there's this tenant who actually rent from us and he's agreeable to rent. His background, he actually has a bachelor's in architecture. But after he actually finished his degree in architecture, he was so passionate about art, he didn't continue as an architect. He went to start his own art business. Can we say he continued in what he has learned? No. Okay, he has changed. When Jesus said, if you believe in me, since you have believed in me, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And that's the illustration that I want to highlight what Jesus is saying here. Why is it important for us as Christians to continue in the word? 3 points. Number one, if we continue in the word, Jesus calls us his true disciples, or rather his disciples, because he says in verse number 31, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. So the word continue means to remain in. Jesus makes a distinction between the believer and the disciple. Okay, he makes a clear distinction here. Abiding in the word of God is an indication of a Christian disciple. That means it does not merely mean we come to church and hear the word of God. It means after we hear the word of God, we immediately practice it. Because we want the word of God to be part and parcel of our lives. You know, it's such a blessing last week. How many of you remember what the message was last week? What's the first point? Or what's any point? First one is brethren, right? What else? Farewell, some more? Remember? Okay, treat each other sincerely. You know, it was such a blessing. last week after the Chinese, we sent some of the people back. And one of them, as we dropped them at the MRT station, you know what he said? As he came out, then after he turned around, he said, farewell, Pastor. Say farewell, brother. You know, when he said that, it meant something. Because he remembered what he learned at the service. And he honestly, with his face, you could see himself, farewell, Pastor. What does farewell mean, anyone? Do you remember? What does it mean? Sorry? Farewell. Okay. What does it mean? It means you wish the person the best. God's blessings on everything you do. Farewell, Pastor. It was such a blessing and this person is a young Christian, but you know what? Immediately, he placed it in prayer. Farewell, Pastor.
That's what it means.
Continuing in the word. You know what God told Joshua? Joshua, when you go in to conquer Canaan, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. In fact, in other words, the fighting strategy to win this city is if you stay in my word. Because the power to overcome this city is not in you, it's in me. So you better know what I say in every situation. Does that make sense? And this is an important truth. After we'll highlight, especially in point 2 and 3, you'll realize why. If we continue in the word, Jesus then calls us his disciples. The Bible also says in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, Jesus says, keep my commandments. What does that mean? Keeping God's instructions is equal to loving God. And that's what Jesus says. If you love me, you do this. In fact, Jesus made it very clear. If you love me, you keep my commandments. That's why Jesus said, if you continue my word, then are you my disciples? Then are you really related to me? Okay? So this is how we know we are believers, if we keep his commandments. Okay, so that's point number one. If we continue in the word, Jesus calls us his disciples. But number two, if we continue in the word, then we will know the truth of God. Then we will know the truth of God. In verse number 32, and ye shall know the truth. When one continues in the word, it means that the individual is remaining in God's word and getting acquainted with God's word. It is God's will that we meditate on God's word day and night. This knowledge is more than just a head knowledge. Please mark that now, because the Greek word know the truth is not merely a head knowledge of God's word. Those who have graduated FBI, can I say this? FBI have been around for many, 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 many years, where many people from even in Maranatha who have graduated, you know, some of the graduates of FBI has left the Lord. Some of the graduates of Faith Bible School have left the Lord. Totally. One nothing to do with the Lord. It's a bit strange, isn't it? But you know what Jesus is saying? If you continue in my word, the word there, the word know there is more than just head knowledge, it's experiential knowledge. Experiential knowledge. What does it mean? Let's turn to John chapter 7, verse 17. John 7, 17. John 7 and verse 17. John 7, 17. There were many Jews during that time who were not very convinced of what Jesus was teaching. Okay? If you look a little bit up, look at verse number 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. This is John 7, 17. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knows this man letters, having never learned? In other words, how come this man can preach so well? He's not really a scholar. He really didn't go to the big schools. His father is just a carpenter. How come he can teach? You know what this verse encourages all of us? You don't need to go to Bible college to teach the Bible. You don't need to go to Bible college. You know, when I first was ordained, I don't have any degree. I mean, Bible degree. But it was never a requirement for anyone ordained. But it would be good if you have that, so that at least you'll be given the knowledge and be able to learn God's word, alright? But then Jesus actually says, goes on to 15, of 16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but he that sent me. Verse 17, if any man will do his will, then he shall know the doctrine. In this world, it's the reverse. Explain to me first, until I understand, then I will do. No, that's not what Jesus said. You do first, then you understand. Can I say this? That's Hebrew wisdom. That's God's wisdom. God is all wise. He gives his instruction. When we obey his instruction, we are wise. That's Hebrew wisdom. That's why sometimes when we read the Bible, say, I don't understand, therefore I don't do. No, what you need to do is, I don't understand, but because God knows what he's saying, I'll just do what he says. And as you are doing, God, help me to understand. God will. And then many precious truth has been learned because someone was willing to do. You know, I think some of you know, There was a brethren who was coming out tracking with us on Wednesday. And what he says is, Pastor, last time I don't understand this going out two by two. But because I'm out tracking, I understand now. I understand why Jesus says we must have compassion on these people. Well, these people, they can say they are Christian, but many of them, when we know, they don't know they are going to heaven, no. And things are coming alive. Why? Because he's stepping out in faith to practice what God says. And he can actually tell me he's growing in Christ. Not because of what he's learning, but as a result of what he's doing. Jesus says, if you will do, then you will know. And is it? This is very important because Christians, please understand this. You will never know the truth of God if you don't obey him. Experientially. And I believe this. Many Christians fall away from God because they stop at obedience. Okay? Three things. What three things about this knowing? Okay? Firstly, this knowledge must be based on the hearing of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You must hear the Word of God. Okay? It is evident that since the life of God is in the Word of God. Did you know that? Did you know that the life of God is in the Word of God? Well, what do you mean, Brother Johnny? I'll give you two illustrations. Jesus says in John chapter 6, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. In other words, if I tell you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, when we by faith receive that, we have life. When the Lord Jesus Christ spoke this word into being, let there be light. What did the Bible say? And there was light. By the way, only God can say that. No human being can do that. Because nowadays, there's this thing called the word faith movement. I said, Brother Joshua Kok, you will be a pastor in 2 years' time. And they believe that because I confess that to you, 2 years' time you'll become. Doesn't happen when usually. It really happened because we have a friend who's staying in our block. And he was told in his so-called cell group, the cell group leader pronouncing he'll be a pastor soon. Right now he's smoking, he's drinking, he's in the media ministry and just he even left God totally. That's called the word faith confession. You confess it and claim it. Alright? That is not scriptural. Only God has the power to name it and claim it because he's God. But you know what? When we read God's word, the word of God brings life. When we don't have God's word in our life, it means that we may not have life. We may have eternal life because we've trusted Christ, but then the other parts of our lives don't grow. Just like when a child is born to a family, but the child just don't want to sit down and learn, just don't want to listen to anyone. The child is still alive, he's still running around, but his life is a mess. Does that make sense? All right? Number one, there must be a hearing of the Word of God. Okay? In other words, God wants us to hear His Word specifically. That's why we don't talk about the Bible, we preach what God says. Okay? It will mean that we're willing to read the Word of God. It means we're willing to attend Sunday school, services, FBI, so on, whenever and wherever the Word of God is preached. Number one. This knowledge also, number two, is made possible by the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Human knowledge and wisdom will never understand heavenly wisdom. It requires the illumination of the Holy Spirit of God. The word know in the Greek means to perceive and to understand. And how can one understand spiritual things unless the Holy Spirit teaches them? Only the Holy Spirit can impress that in our hearts. And then as we study, and we begin to ask God, you teach me, the Holy Spirit works with you to help you to understand this knowledge of God. All right, the knowledge of God can only be applied to the soul when the Holy Spirit moves within the individual and the individual responds in faith to the conviction and the prompting. Does it make sense? Okay, just take down these notes because in the end I'm going to tell you a story to wrap up this whole teaching of the Bible. Okay, 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which ye have received on him abideth in you. This anointing refers to the Holy Spirit of God. And ye need not any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you in of all things, the same anointing refers to the Holy Spirit, and is truth and is no lie, even as he had taught you, ye shall abide in him. The anointing means the Holy Spirit, and what will he do? He will teach you all things. But Brother Johnny, so does that mean I don't have to come to church anymore? Does that mean I don't have to listen to anyone anymore? No. God gave pastors, God gave evangelists, God gave people to teach, Children, God gave your dads and moms as spiritual authority also to teach you the Word of God. You're supposed to listen. Sunday school teachers are also youth leaders who teach the Word of God, are also God's way of propagating the truth of God. And we need to obey them so that we have a better understanding of what God wants us to learn. So it's important to realize the Holy Spirit in us helps us understand. But number three, this knowledge is also based on our obedience. We talked about that just now. This knowledge is based on our obedience to the Word of God. We will never understand God's Word fully until we're willing to act on it. We will never understand the power of what God has for us until we're willing to act on what God says. Okay? When I was in secondary school, we did this. Last time we have technology, you know, woodwork, metalwork. So it was our, and we do metalwork. So in metalwork, we had to weld a piece of metal. You know, welding a piece of metal is about this small. You're doing something, I cannot remember what you do. Some people are smiling. So anyway, we have to be welding this. And we know welding requires very high heat, very high temperatures, right? In order for the metal to melt. We've been told of the implication and the safety while we are doing the metal work, okay? And unfortunately, some of the students were slow to take note of the warning and safety. And one of them was me. So at secondary two, we were welding this metal on the clamp. After welding it, you know what I did? After welding it for about a few minutes, it begins to melt. What I did, I went to pick it up. And my instructor laughed at me. I burned my hand, of course. You know, it's so high heat. Why? The instruction was given, I didn't listen. But you know what? Experientially, I learned for the rest of my life never to touch something that is just recently heated. And I've learned that. How many of us as Christians, sometimes we hear God's word and we're willing to act on it. And something God actually teaches us, we remember the lesson for the rest of our life. And we can even bring it back and say, this is how God actually will work. I believe this with all my heart. Many lessons that you as Christians, and I as a Christian will experience, is only when you're willing to act on what God says. Children, you will never understand. Listen, I'm helping parents here. When children, you will never understand the seriousness of what dad and mom teach you until you're willing to obey. But once you obey it and you begin to connect, yeah, actually, dad knows what he's talking about. Let's listen. Or mom knows what he's talking about. Let's listen. They're your spiritual authorities. Moms and dad, we need to take that spiritual authority and instruct the children. Okay? Because it's part of God's way of instructing children in life. So our obedience to God's word is very important. We know that, you know, the word of God by our implicit and explicit obedience. If we do it, then we know. This is a Bible principle and this doesn't change. Okay? If we truly know Christ, we will need to be willing to obey Him. Let's turn to Hebrews 5:14. I believe it's there. I just want to highlight this. Hebrews 5:14 says, strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. And this is important. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. Strong meat belongs only to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses, spiritual senses, exercised to know the good and the evil. Christians, you will never know what is right and wrong until you are willing to trust God and take God at His word and obey it. That's what Paul is saying. Christians are full age when they use God's word and exercise it so that their senses will know what is right and wrong. Okay? Christianity is a life of obedience. The Bible is not a book of suggestions. It's a book for our obedience. And when God teaches us, He wants us to do that, okay? Paul mentions clearly that mature and growing Christians are those who have been using the faith, the word that they have learned. If we are saying we don't understand God's word, can I suggest one thing? Start obeying it. If you say, Brother Johnny, I don't read, I don't know what I'm reading. You know what? Obey what you already know and start from there. Obey what you already know and start from there. you will find that there's accumulation of knowledge after that. Because the more you obey, the more, hey, I don't know, I want to learn more. And because you are doing, you're moving forwards. All right? Because you shall know the truth. When we continue in God's word, when we remain in God's word, then you will know the truth. But the last point, very important. If we continue in the word, we will be made free. We will be made free. Genuine freedom comes from following the law of God, the principles of the law of God. It's not a hard thing to understand. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." When Jesus used the word free, he is using it in the context of freedom from slavery. And the Jews knows that because they are captured people. They are being oppressed very much, not only sadly by the Roman Empire, but also they are oppressed by their own religious leaders. Physically and lifestyle, they have been oppressed by the Romans. Religiously, they have been oppressed by their own spiritual leaders who put things on them. They cannot take it. Jesus says, "You will know my truth, and this truth will make you free. Free from the inside." Sometimes you may be captured, but you know what? It's so important. You can capture my outside, but you cannot capture my inside. But you know what? People, because they do not know the truth, they get trapped even on the inside. Okay? Example, you know, if you follow the rules of this land, the police will not be after you, right? If you follow and do right, if you do the right thing, you don't steal, you don't whatever, you don't have to worry. The police will come after you. You know what? Parents in Singapore always say, "Matalia," you know, the police will catch you, right? If you do this, the police will come. Alright? And sometimes we use that as a threat. And when children really do wrong, they look at someone blue eyes. They try to be very quiet. Why? Because they are fearful of that authority. You know, the Bible says the law is made for the lawless. In 1 Timothy 1:9, let me just read. Knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous man. Remember, when there's a rule, it's actually not made for us. If you are righteous, if you are doing the right thing, it's not made for you. Okay? But the law is made for the lawless and the disobedient. Why? Because, get this, in society, God has imposed that there must be order and harmony. Okay? So when people go against that, God has put a law, basically, to stop the people doing wrong and to protect the innocent. Does that make sense? That's why God puts authority in the government. If anyone will kill, I think someone has, I mean, there are some comments about people, I think some people who traffic drugs and murdered someone has got away scot-free, but they're still in prison, but not for the length of time. You know, when we take things in our own hands, it always creates discontent. God says a life is for a life. And you know what? It's very sad that I'm sure God will need to help our government to really look at it carefully and make sure those people who deserve don't go away scot-free, etc. But the Bible says the law is made for the lawless, those people who do not want to follow the rules. That's what the law is made for. Turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 23. If you do not want the law against you, you know what you need to do? Be controlled by the Spirit of God. In Galatians 5:23, the Bible says, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. In Galatians 5:22-23, talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Think about this. When I choose to live in my own ways, my own thinking, I'm living in the flesh. And I'll do the wrong things. The law is made to make sure I don't hurt other people, I don't hurt myself. But when I'm controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, my character, the behaviors I have, will be controlled by the Spirit of God. And because God is good, and I'm controlled by the Spirit of God, no one needs to tell me what to do. Right? Because I will naturally do the right thing. Because I'm controlled by the Spirit of God. Does it make sense? Every Christian needs to live like that. Every Christian needs to live like that. Be controlled by the Spirit of God. Okay? And that's why the Bible says, against such, there is no law. You do not need to control someone who's living in the Spirit of God. You don't need to tell that person what to do. You don't need to. Why? Because they're controlled by the Holy Spirit of God and they will always do the right thing. It's only for those people who choose not to do the right thing that you have to tell them. That's why children, you need to submit to the teaching of your parents. Why? Because your parents are trying to teach you, because otherwise your sinful nature will just go haywire. And that's why we need discipline. for our children as well. When we continue in the Word, when we're convicted by God's Word, we are trained in our character, we are changed by the hand of God. But the only way we can be made free from this character if we continue in the Word. Can I ask a question before I tell you the story to wrap up this message? Some of us as Christians have knowledge of God's Word, but some of us are still not free from the habits of life, from the sins of our lives, from certain attitudes, from certain things which we know is wrong, but we just cannot get rid of them. The question we ask is why? How many of us have this beliefs, perhaps, behavior that says, I know it's wrong, but I keep doing it again and again. I know I'm supposed to do something about it, but I just cannot do it. You know what that is? That's enslavement. You're not free. I believe with all of my heart, when the Lord Jesus Christ inserted this to these Jewish believers who trusted in Him, He is not merely, I want to be honest, I'm speculating, but knowing our Lord Jesus Christ who wants us to be totally made free in our heart, because He's here to give us what? John chapter 10 verse 10, an abundant life, a full life, an overflowing life. An overflowing life will not be possible for someone with burdens and hindrances in their life that stop them. Does that make sense? They will be bound. And I believe with all my heart, after you have trusted Christ, Jesus says, if you will continue my word, you know the truth. He's going step by step. If you continue my word, you know God's truth. And you know what the truth will do? He'll set you free in the area that is binding you from stopping you from getting the abundant life that I want you to have. Does that make sense? And I believe many Christians are in that category that they have things in their life that they have never given up. And today I believe Jesus says, are you willing to continue my word that will make you free in this area? There was two men, and one is John, one is Jack. This John and Jack were very, very poor men. They did not have any money, they didn't have any resources, they didn't have any property. They had nothing belonging to them. They were very, very poor. And because of the lack of the work that they had, they don't have a job. Both of them did not know what it means to work hard, to be diligent, to be perseverant. They don't understand what it means to do an excellent job. Instead, they were lazy. They lacked initiative and skills. And all they did all day was either to sit down and dream or walk around and dream. And all they did was either sit down and they would chew straw and continue dreaming. Because they got nothing to do. They were trapped in their physical property, poverty, physical poverty. And they were also trapped in their character qualities as well. And what they did was they would get into fist fights, verbal fights, and they would throw tantrums at one another. Because they got nothing to do. So, exercise. Okay. One day there was a very rich man who was looking for people to work with him. He saw this man and asked them if they would like to work for him. He said, they would help to provide you with a job to provide for yourself. The two men jumped at the opportunity. They said, yeah man, we want the job. And on the first day of work, both of them were punctually present. They were there at the job punctually. And after they were given their assignments, they set out to work. They were glad, they were grateful. Days passed into weeks and weeks into months. They had their pay, and for the first time, they had provisions they could enjoy. And they can even share with other people now. They were set free from their physical poverty. Now they have earning power. They could actually provide for themselves. Yeah, I can eat bread, you know. They could eat. Maybe a month, sometimes they'll buy something special for themselves. They now have meaning in life and some provisions. And they're beginning to be free. The boss told them encouragingly that they need to keep up the good work and they will be well paid. Okay, the boss was very encouraging. Both of them continued well for a time. John worked very hard. He was always on time and he was always there before anyone came. It was John. His work will always be excellent and he tried his best in everything. The boss was able to trust John in all the job for the day. Whenever he dealt with customers, he was always courteous and well-mannered, prompt and helpful. The customers enjoyed working with John because they always had the best service. Okay, they fed back to the boss, who later on gave John both a raise and a promotion. And John was very happy and gladly and thankful, but he continued to work hard. On the other hand, it was obvious that Jack was getting complacent. Knowing that he already has a job, he began to be slack and lazy. He began turning in late for work and had to be told to be punctual. His work was getting worse, and the supervisor had to instruct him to work harder again and again. And Jack did not like this and began to have a bad attitude towards the supervisor, many times pretending to ignore the instructions given and not doing what he was supposed to do. The boss was told and he summoned Jack to the office. He told Jack that he needed to keep up the good work he did before and work hard. Jack agreed, but as soon as he left the office, he did not continue in the work. Finally, the boss had to tell him, "Jack, I have no choice, but you need to leave the work. I tell you what, I'll keep the job for you when you have changed your mind about how you want to work." John was set free from his poverty. He had enough for himself now. He could support his family. He was set free from his old character. He became hardworking, diligent, perseverant, excellent in his work and job. He was set free from himself. Rather than fighting with people right now, he was helpful, attentive, grateful, patient, and long-suffering. Jet was set free from his poverty for a while, but he returned to his poverty. He was set free from his old character, but now he's lazy and slack. He's still, therefore, trapped in his poverty physically, and his character is also trapped. Question: are you a John in your Christian life, or are you a Jack? Your job is still available, but are you a John or are you a Jack? Some of us are Johns. Thank God you are continuing the Lord's word, His will and His work. You are set free from your old ways, forming new ones. Your old character is slowly being replaced by Christ-likeness, and sin is losing its grip on you as you submit to the Word of God and the transforming influence of the Holy Spirit. I want to say this. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Ye shall know the truth. The truth will make you free." When the Lord Jesus said that, He knew the enslavement sin can have on every individual. How many of you, honestly, without putting up your hand in your heart, know that there are certain things in your life that is trapping you? You want to be free, but you just cannot. If that's your situation, Jesus is speaking those words to you. And I can assure you, if you look back, even as I reflect on my own life, the connecting straw is always because we did not continue in this word. Continue means to remain in and be obedient in. When we cease being obedient, put it this way, when you are a driver for many years, but then you stop driving for many years, you would lose some of the agility. Would that not be true? You may not lose everything, but you may be a bit afraid. When people honk on you, you jump into the kind of thing. Why? Because you're not continuing in your driving skills. And people can forget. In therapy, we have this principle. You don't use it, you lose it. And it's true. Did you realize? Some of us may be bodybuilders and all that, but if you don't, brother Lex, what happens if you don't train for 2 months? Your six-pack becomes 1 pack. That's exactly what Jesus is referring to. But you know what? The six-pack we used to be showing all the time become 1 pack. You want to hide. And you're not as efficient as you should be. Why? Because we're not continuing in what God says we're supposed to do. Are we a Jack? Are we a John? Are we persevering? Or are we a Jack? The word is given, but there's a refusal to continue in the Lord's word, His will, and His work. You are still trapped in your old ways. And because that is the case, there is no way of forming new ones. Because you're trapped in the old ways. There's no way of forming new ones. Your old character is still there and not replaced. Sin still has its grip on your life because the Holy Spirit convicts there's a persistent refusal to do the right thing. And you know what? Well, you know what happens after a while when the Holy Spirit prompts you and we don't do? You know what happens to the voice of the Holy Spirit? It actually gets softer and softer. Do you know why? Because we get harder and harder. Turn to Proverbs 29 verse 1. Proverbs 29 verse 1. Proverbs 29 verse 1. Proverbs 29, verse 1. Let's read together, ready? 1, 2, go. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. A person who has been often told what to do right, refuses to do it, hardeneth his neck, the Bible says, shall suddenly be destroyed, that without remedy. When we choose to persistently, you know, the Holy Spirit is a very gentle spirit. He's a comforter. But the Bible is clear also, He convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's a gentle one that says, hey, walk with God. Hey, do right. Hey, avoid that. And the prompting of the Holy Spirit is never in a thunderous way, as in 1 Kings chapter 19. The Holy Spirit comes in what? The still, small voice that only you can hear between your relation, in your relation between you and God. But when there's a persistence, says no, 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 no. God says, he that being often reproved, as you harden your neck, God says, will suddenly be destroyed. And when the destruction comes, the remedy will not be found. You realize that in the Old Testament, that is consistently God's promise to those people who choose not to follow Him. But yet in the New Testament, God has grace for us. Amen. He extends His hand in a long-suffering manner to the point that I believe very much that God, with His own children, is so long-suffering that sometimes it's even hard to entertain the thought that sometimes God will say, I'm not going to speak to you anymore as a believer. I don't believe God fully. Unless we are so hard and God says, that's enough, enough speaking, I'm sending judgment. Which is also a Bible doctrine, Hebrews chapter 12, that chastisement can come. What I'm saying here is, are you a John or are you a Jack? Are you continuing the word? Jack started well, but went straight back to where he was trapped. Can you think of one person in the Old Testament who was like that? I remember King Solomon. He started well. He was the one who said, God says, well, ask me something, you know, and I will give you. And what Solomon? Solomon didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for treasures. He didn't ask for empire. He said, God, give me wisdom to rule your people. God was pleased with him. What happened? He indulged in the things of this world. The Bible says his wives turned his heart away from God. Solomon started well. He didn't end well. Why? He did not continue in the word. He did not continue in the word. Parents, can I encourage you to continue in the word because of your children? You can start well. You can teach well. Your children's not looking at that. They're looking at your life. Looking at our lives. Are we a Jack or are we a John? As we close, God wants us to continue in His word so that we can be set free. Continuing the word shows that we are disciples of Christ. Continuing the word helps us to know God's truth. And of course, continuing the word will make us free. Christians, are we free from our sinful habits, attitudes? Or do we have to honestly before God says, Lord, I'm sorry. I haven't been continuing in your word. Or maybe you have been continuing in many areas except one. I share in the Sunday school, you know what Satan does? You just keep attacking that one. Okay? Your house can be very nice, protected, but if you just have one cockroach running around, and you know it's there, many of us will have no peace sleeping. Agree? That's the shouting thing. You got to get rid of that cockroach, because what if it crawls across your face and go sleep. Are there things in your life that God says, hey, deal with that. Continue my word. The word will make you free. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the attentiveness of your people. Thy word is given to us so that we can be made free, Lord. Lord, I believe with all my heart, thank you that salvation in Christ is based solely on the gracious work on the cross, that when we put faith in the finished redemptive work of Christ, we have eternal life. But yet, Lord, after that, the sanctification process needs to begin when you say, if you will continue in my word, then you will be made free. Then you will know my word that is able to set you free. Because we are so trapped with our old opinions and we are so trapped with our old ways, God, that we cannot be set free. And so, Lord, it is so vital for us to have a transformation, but be changed by the renewing of your mind. Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, to speak in a special way. With his bow, eyes closed, I just want to speak firstly to Christians. Is there some area of your life that, as the cause of the message, you'll say, Brother Johnny, there's an area of enslavement. I know it's there. I'm so weak, I cannot get out. Please pray for me that God will teach me to continue in his word, that I'll be made free. Is there someone like that? Say, Brother Johnny, pray for me. Want to be set free, made free from that area. Is there anyone? Amen, I see that hand. Is there anyone else? Amen, I see that hand too. Is there anyone else? Just put up your right hand, I'll pray for you. An area of enslavement that is gripping you. It could be whatever it is, I don't know. But I believe God's word is able to set us free. We'll acknowledge that there is a problem. Is there anyone else? Amen, I see that hand too. Put it down. Brothers and sisters, those that put our hand, put it down. Pray in your heart, God, I want to continue in your word. Because Jesus says, if you will, you need to tell the Lord Jesus in your heart, Lord, I will continue in your word, but help me. Is there anyone else? Amen, I see that hand too. Is there anyone else? Oh, Christians, don't be bound. It's never God's will. Amen, I see that hand too. Don't be bound. Because God wants us to have an abundant life, but don't allow the hindrances to stop you. Is there anyone else? Amen, I see that hand too. Is there anyone else? There's one more question. If you're here, you're not a Christian. The thing that is binding you in your sin is unbelief. The refusal to place trust in Christ as your Savior. You need to say, Lord, I trust you as your my Savior. But I need to know how I need to do that. Is there anyone who says, Brother Johnny, I'm not a Christian. I want to be. After all that Jesus has done for me, I want him in my life. Is there anyone like that? Just pull out your right hand, I'll pray for you. Someone to share with you the gospel so that you can be clear, be set free from sin and eternal damnation. Is anyone? Let's pray. Father, I pray for those people all over who has put up their hand. A simple message, Lord, about being set free. Lord, this is personal because it's between you and them. But yet, thy word have exposed certain areas that they need to work on. So, Father, I pray specifically that you would strengthen the determination of every brethren and sister who have put up their hands. Lord, not only strengthen their determination, give them the necessary strength to overcome that area and then continue in the way, Lord, you want them to continue. Show them specific Bible verses which life in them power to help them to be free. And I pray, Father, that thy Holy Spirit will work in these people's lives, that their lives will be transformed by you. Lord, thank you for their honesty, but God is just the first step. Because we need to be made free from ourselves. So Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. I pray for these brethren that even as they put their determination clearly, as they respond to you, you say, him that cometh to me, Lord, you will not cast out. When a person is broken and humble before you, Lord, you will always receive them. So, Lord, thank you for what you're going to do in the life of these brethren who have put up their hands. And I pray for those who are struggling. Help them to realize, Lord, it is absolutely no use to struggle against love. It's no use, Father, to struggle against someone who has the power to change us. With all the love and kindness, Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Even as we sing the closing hymn, may you, Lord, continue to make us free. Serve you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and just sing, I've decided to follow Jesus. Just sing the first three stanzas, okay? First three stanzas, I've decided to follow Jesus. For those who, before we sing, for those who have put up your hand, if you need any help, please email me or email someone that you can trust. Highlight that difficulty or even speak to a brother or sister so that you can remember you don't have to fight this alone. All right, we're here for one another spiritually to help us, okay? First three stanzas. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning. Don't no one join me. No one with me. I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Last stanza, stanza three. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Amen. Let's bow for our prayer. Let's pray. Father, we commit ourselves to you. Lord, I believe with all my heart, many of us here have trusted Christ as their personal Savior, like the many Jews who heard the Word of God and placed faith in the eternal redemptive work of our Savior. That by faith, Lord, in His finished work, we have eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for that. But yet, Lord, when we go down to the next verse in 30 and 31, you say, if ye continue in my word, then ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It might be your disciples. Lord, I pray for every believer to reach the stage whereby they don't just believe, they're willing to follow. Father, I pray that we will realize, Lord, what you have done for us was totally free will. You loved us so much. You gave yourself for us. But when you implore us to trust you, we have. But God, may that love that you have given to us motivate us, Lord, to take the next step, freely surrendering our will to the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. As we learn your word, as we obey you, I pray once again, Lord, that everyone who is a Christian here will understand this truth today. That we can believe, but God, we need to follow. The Lord, that we will not just take advantage of the good things and not continue on, that we might grow in Christ. Lord, we need your help. We need your leading. We need your guiding. And I'm asking you, Father, to use this message, this word of God, to transform our lives. Help us to continue in your word, that we might be made free. Lord, free from ourselves, free to serve Christ, and free, Lord, to set others free as well. We'll thank you for what you're going to do. And Father, may Ambassador be a group of people who are made free in their hearts from the sin and the attitudes that would reflect the world and its ways. But Lord, we'll be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and filled with the character and the attitudes and personality of our dear Savior. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. And I pray that you would encourage those who have put up their hands to take the next step of faith, do the right thing, to continue your way. Thank you, we pray this in your name. Amen.